हरिः ओम् तत्सत् गुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ भद्रं कन्नेभिश्रुणुयामदेवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागंसस्तनूभिः व्यशेमदेवहितैरदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः प्रज्ञानां सुप्रतानैस्थिरचरनिकरव्यापिभिर्व्याप्य लोकान् त्वा भोगान्स्थविष्ठान् पुनरपि धिषणोद्भासितान् कामजन्यान् पीत्वा सर्वान् विशेषान् स्वपिति मधुरभुङ् मायया भोजयन्नः सङ्ख्यातुरीयम् परममृतमजम् ब्रह्म यत्तन्नतोऽस्मि यो विश्वात्मा विधिजविषयान् प्राश्य भोगान्स्तविष्ठान् अचान्यान् स्वमतिविभवान् तिशास्वेन सूक्ष्मान् सर्वान्नेतान् पुनरपि ने स्वात्मनि स्थापयित्वा नीत्वा सर्वान् विशेषान् मग्नगणः पात्वसो नस्तुरीयः विगतगुणगणः असौ तुरीयः नः पातु दिस् रियल् प्रेयर् ವಿಗತ ಗುಣಗಣ ತುರಿಯ ನಹ ಪಾತು. ವಿ ರಿಯಲಿ ಸೀಕಿಂಗ್ ಪ್ರೊಟೆಕ್ಷನ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಭಗವಾನ್, ಹೂ ಈಸ್ ಎಸೆನ್ಷಿಯಲಿ ದ ಟ್ರೂತ್, ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ಫ್ರೀ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಆಲ್ ಆಟ್ರಿಬ್ಯೂಟ್ಸ್. ಅಂಡ್ ದಟ್ ಭಗವಾನ್, ವೇರ್ ಈಸ್ ಹಿ? ಅಸೌ ಈಸ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಆಸ್ ದಿ ನಿಯರೆಸ್ಟ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್. ವೈ? ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಮಿಸ್ಕನ್ಸೆಪ್ಷನ್ಸ್, ಆಲ್ ಕನ್ಫ್ಯೂಷನ್ಸ್, ಇಸ್ಂಟ್ ಇಟ್? ಇಫ್ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರಂ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಟೇಕನ್ ಆಸ್ ದಿ ಪ್ರಮಾಣ ಅಂಡ್ ವಿ ಯೂಸ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ರೀಸನಿಂಗ್, ನಾಟ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರಂ, ಅಫ್ಕೋರ್ಸ್ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರಂ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಟು ಬಿ ದಿ ಪ್ರಧಾನ ಪ್ರಮಾಣ, ದ ಮೇನ್ appropriate means of honorjustice shastram, have shraddha in it, and then it must be supported by logic also, reasoning also. We know it's not said you should not take support of the logic, no, reasoning also must be used, but having shastram as the pramanam, see what is taught in the shastram, taught by the shastram, is not contradict the reasoning also. This is the, then there is no problem, at least we are able to arrive at it. Otherwise what happens, the shraddha in the shastram is not there. At least initially let me try, now that openness must be there. The no shraddha, no shastram, only reasoning I use means my search cannot go beyond mind. And the search, how much ever you think, a search can never go beyond mind. If whatever you try to know is object of knowledge. Object of knowledge is within the realm of the mind, not beyond the mind. That is where the continuously failure happens. So not only nastikaha, also astika darshanani, darshanikaha. Even these so-called philosophers who seem to be revering shastram, they also holding on to their own reasoning when they try to establish the creation, saying that creation is real. Just because it is available for experience, just because it is available for, okay, perception, enjoyment, it is very difficult for them to say the creation is not real. Our life is not denied. Everything is mithya. It's very difficult to accept. So that's why they try to find out what is the cause. And then they come out with some cause. That is how they try to establish duality to be real. They try to establish the creation to be real. They try to establish the, I mean, when they say creation is real, the universe is real. The universe is real means anything which goes through the universe is real. All our problems are real. Duality is real. Plurality is real. Everything is real. What is not real here? So, in the bargain, what we lose is moksha. That is why we can't afford to miss. If they say the world is real, and understanding that world being real, if we can attain moksha, then there's no problem. At least some benefit is there. Isn't it? The problem is, the whole, our moksha itself, is we are deprived of the moksha we already have, our birthright. Our own swarupam, we are not able to claim, we are not able to take ownership of, we are not able to enjoy because of the erroneous perception. What we have, we are depriving ourselves of enjoying what we already is our own swarupam. What a tragedy it is, isn't it? If you are poor really, we can understand we are suffering. You are the richest person. Being richest, having abundance of wealth, and you are begging, you are a beggar, you are a pauper, struggling, starving, Isn't it? Isn't it? It's worst. So, is trying to establish the non-duality of duality is not for simply proving one's authority, or not for simply, you know, undermining other thinkers' views, or not for quarreling, not for fighting, not for any belittling other thinkers. No, not at all. Even trying to correct their views is only ultimately for us to enjoy the benefit of vision. Because what we are desperately searching for, we should not forget. Through the pursuit of knowledge, by arriving at what is the truth of the universe, what we want to accomplish is not, we are not interested in jnanam. Our interest is in our wellness, our well-being, our welfare. We should not forget that. Moksha being the goal should not be forgotten. That is why moksha purushartha nischaya is very important. What are you aspiring for knowledge? What are you aspiring? Is it, why are you interested in knowledge? What makes to go after the search for jnana, searching of the truth? It is not simply for me to have the name, I'm a big scientist, not like that. The research, any research must be with a good intention of contributing for the world's happiness, making the life better, making the life, isn't it? That's what, when the nuclear bombs are discovered, the worry was, one side we're proud of our discoveries, accomplishments. One side we're also, our own discovery should not contribute for destruction. That was the fear of many elders of those days when it was newly discovered. Now, every country has the nuclear power. So, any discovery must contribute for the welfare of the beings, the society. Not for, welfare means it must be contributed for people's peace and happiness, not for destruction. Isn't it? That must be the aim of any research. So many researches have happened. So many facts have been discovered. Now in every field, in physics, medical field, in technology, every field there are some advancements. How people are able to make the lives, prolong the lives. Even they can't stop the death. Isn't it? The person who can die at the age of 60, 70, now he can live up to 90, 95, 100. Because of advancements, it's all fine. Because any research must be for welfare of the humanity. Welfare of the humanity is dependent on the welfare of all the living beings in the world also. We should not forget that. As long as the nature, Mother Nature, is not disturbed, as long as the universal natural moral law and order is not disturbed, we live our lives in tune with the order. Our lives are in harmony with the order, then there's harmony in life is possible. Peace in life is possible. If our way of life disturbs the order, we have to heavily pray for it, pay for it. Then even if we pray, it will not work. If we disturb the order, we have to pay for it. That is why here, the whole teaching is how to live our lives from the beginning, also consciously, in tune with the order, in harmony with the order, that we do not disturb the order. If we do not disturb the order, we will not be disturbed by the order. The nature of dharma is such, if we disturb, we will be disturbed. If we rub against the order, we will be rubbed against by the order. Why? That is the nature of dharma. That's why the best example given is always what? The fire. If you touch the fire, it will burn your finger. You cannot file a case against the fire. Why does the fire burn my finger? Fire will say, I did not burn. Why? Burning is not the will-involved action, that the very sorup of the fire. You must be intelligent enough to keep yourself away from fire. Don't touch it. If you touch, it will burn. In the same way, dharma is like the fire. Okay? If as long as what I speak, what I do, what I think is in conformity with the order, does not disturb the order, I am blessed by the order. Then I can tap the grace. I can enjoy the blessings and the grace. If I disturb the order, poor order, Bhagavan himself cannot help. Because that is the nature of, Bhagavan is helpless. Bhagavan is the very order. And we have to go through. What we have to go through, we have to pay for it. That is why even in the date, the whole lifestyle must be such to be relatively peaceful and happy. Absolutely, if you want to be peaceful and happy, your whole perspective has to change. No choice. And the perspective has to change means I'm suffering, not knowing my perspective, my perception being wrong, I'm suffering. That is why some light comes, the Shruti Mata comes and helps us to understand the very problem. We do not even recognize the problem. How are you going to find a solution for the problem? Unless you know you are diagnosed with you are suffering with a disease, then you can think of a medication, treatment. The treatment can begin only if you know you are suffering the disease. We don't even know that the problem. There is problem called samsaraha. Okay, the samsaraha is like the life of transmigration is there. In this transmigratory life, which is relatively real. And this whole thing is because of the error in the perception. All that we need is we need not change anything outside. We cannot change anything outside. We cannot change anything inside also. No change needs inside or outside. Change is needed only in the perspective. In changing the perspective, the whole Jagadevanandanavanam, the whole universe which you see as a life, world of problems and world of burden, world of misery, completely becomes the world, it becomes the world of joy and happiness. It's all in perspective, isn't it? So perspective change has to happen because the big errors in the perception of the self and the world has to happen. And for that, first, the correction of the error must be what? Perception, correction of the error in the perception of one's own self. Then, simultaneously, then the error in the perception of the world also will be corrected. For that, what we need is knowledge of the truth. In discovering the truth, our freedom is. If the discovery of the truth is not for our freedom, not for taking ownership of our own freedom, a fullness of happiness and peace, what is this knowledge for? Understand? So the philosophers have to know that it is not competition between the intellectual superiority of the people. It is not to compete. Is not to prove that who is much more intelligent, who is much more capable in discovering the truth. It's not no competition here. That's why we have to remember that. Knowledge of the truth is as spread, not for the knowledge of, for the sake of the knowledge, for the sake of our everlasting peace and happiness. That's what we've been desperately searching for. Janmas after janmas also. Whether we know it or not, that is the fact. Isn't it? That is why the Shastram presents the teaching here. But here, these people, when they take the philosophers, all of them may be they meaning well also, but unfortunately they do not accept the Shastram totally. Then when they crush their own intellect, they come out with their own views. And they to the best of the ability they have crushed. They could not go beyond that. Then they come out this as a conclusion. That what Sankhya philosopher does, Vaisheshika does, yoga philosopher does, Buddha does, all of them come out. They all, maybe they want to do good for society, but they're very focused people, but still, just because they did not come to Veda Pramanam, all their abilities, okay, fail in arriving at the fact of the duality being not real. So, we have seen many schools of thought until now, but here the one important thing, main teaching of all the 10 karikas. What is the main teaching of the 10 karikas? Gaudapada Acharya repeatedly says, is impossible to establish the absolute unborn cause. There is no such a thing called absolute unborn cause at all. If at all there is something unborn, that is only the reality. The one and the only thing unborn is reality. Abstract formless reality. It is this reality which is implied by the term Atma or Brahma. And as we are being unborn, it also immortal. Ajam, therefore Amritam. Reality alone is Ajam. Reality is alone Amritam. Unborn, therefore immortal. Endless also. Being beginningless, it is endless. Being beginningless and endless, it is eternal. Being eternal, it is timeless. Being timeless, being subtle, being subtlest, it is all pervasive. Being all pervasive, it is changeless. Being changeless is also partless. Okay? Therefore, this is how the reality is. And this alone is Satyam. Why it is Satyam? It exists independently. This reality, the very term reality we are using, what kind of word you can use? What is the reality? Reality is that which has independent existence. Swataha Siddham. Swatasiddham. Swatasiddham is what? That which exists independently by itself. Very nature is existence. Being existent is the very swarupam. That's why existence, pure existence. And this reality, which is of the nature of self-existence, that we say self, we don't need to say self-existent. Existence is pure. That pure existence, okay, the reality is in the form of existence of everything that is here. Any form, name and function which is here as an existent has the status of being existent, enjoying existence, that existence of everything is the reality. Very important. Okay. Reality is in the form of existence. It's all preparation for the rest of the verses. Existence is in the form of reality is in the form of existence of everything. Wherever you see anything, any object you perceive, and anything is perceived as an object means it's existent. Existent means it enjoys existence. That existence enjoyed by any object, you separate it cognitively, that existence is the reality. How in every form, name and function called wave, water is inseparable. You cannot separate water and the wave form. Because water is the existence with reference to the wave, existence with reference to the ocean. Similarly, it's only relative. Absolutely, what is that reality is in the form of existence of everything. We need not go in search of the reality anywhere. Existence, the meaning of the noun existence, isn't it? You see, we are experiencing as in every existent, any object is what? Reality only. You cannot separate water and the waveform. Similarly, you cannot separate existence and anything that is experienced here as an object. Isn't it? That's why how many forms? Countless. Countless number of forms, names and functions which constitute this inexplicably vast cosmos. That's why we simply say existence with form, name and function called universe is what? Brahma. Why? The forms, names and functions are non-substantial. Brahman is the only substance. Okay, that word is very not upright word. For want of expression, I have to use the word substance. Vastu. Abstract vastu. Obtaining of existence with the jagat is Brahma. Minus forms, names and functions, the jagat is also what? Brahma. Isn't it? If I remove the form, ocean, name, form, name and function, ocean and waves, still water will be there. Isn't it? Water can be without form, name and function called ocean, but form, name and function called ocean cannot be without water. In the same way, even though this inexplicably vast cosmos of countless number of forms, names and functions will not be without the one substance, one vastu called Brahma. Isn't it? It is the vastu. Without jagat, vastu can be. But without vastu, jagat cannot be. Universe cannot be. That is why, we say? Existence. Satta samanyam. Samanya satta. That which is common. One thing which is common. Which is there uniformly. Which is there in everything. Inseparably. Isn't it? With everything is what? Existence. Understand that existence is Brahma, reality. And that existence is beginningless. Existence is endless. Pure existence is changeless. Existence is the subtlest reality. Reality, which is understood in terms of its nature of existence, is beginningless, endless, timeless, all pervasive, indivisible, undivided, partless. Understand? That is why satyam. What is that existence? That existence, that reality, understood in terms of its nature of pure existence, can be arrived at only in terms of its nature of consciousness. When you want to understand it as in terms of its nature of consciousness, you have to arrive at it as only one's own sarupam. The human mind is blessed with this capacity to arrive at the reality existence in terms of its nature of consciousness as the essence, innermost essence means the very content of I. The two words we can use, aham, idam. Aham, I. Every individual can use aham, aham, aham. Then idam, this. I, this. Only two pronouns. Reduce the whole word into two pronouns. I and this. Okay? You arrive at I as what? Consciousness. Okay? I, the consciousness. Am, this. Chit, sat. I, the consciousness. Am is, I, the chit. Am the sat, sat chit, understand, is this. The truth of this, the truth of I, reduce the whole into two as I and this, And what is the truth? What is the truth? Content of I? Consciousness. What the content of this existence? Are they two? No. They're one and the same. Consciousness is existence. Existence is consciousness. Consciousness alone is existence of this. This existence of everything that is here is what? The consciousness that is I. Aham idam. That's all. We can say aham, the consciousness. We can hear, division is what? Knower. And this is the known. The knower known. The knower known division is as what? Aham and idam. So aham idam division is relative. Knower known division is relative. Absolutely, there is no division. There is no separation. There is no distance. There is non-separateness. There is non-difference. There is non-distance between aham and idam. And what is that which fills, what is that which fills the seeming distance? Isn't it? This is one and the only Swarupam, the truth, consciousness, existence. Understand? Which is Satchidatma, Satchid Brahma. And this consciousness existence is ever of the nature of limitlessness. Being limitless again is the Swarupam. How limitless it is? Time-based limitless. Time-based limitless? Yes. Because time is a concept. Time is relative. Time is abstract, but still relative. Where is the time? Time is object of thought, object of knowledge. We're talking about the consciousness existence, Satchid Vastu, Satchid Vastu, the consciousness existence, the truth, only truth. We understand, which understand in terms of its nature of consciousness existence, Sadvastu, Satchid Vastu, Sadvastu is the Swarupam of the thought, Swarupam of any knowledge is the first. Time is object of thought, object of knowledge. Isn't it? Time is only when I know the time is. When I do not know my own existence, I am there not to my existence, time also is not there. That is why consciousness, Satchid Vastu, is free from time limitation. So time is limitless. So also space, so what? That's why Akash example is always given. The space is so vast and limitless, all pervasive. The very word Akashaha means Ama Samantat Kashate Iti Akashaha. That which alone shines everywhere is space. If at all one thing which is indivisible, undivided in this objective universe is that is space. And the space itself is object of consciousness. Object of thought, object of knowledge. Because space also is only when I see it, when I know it. Otherwise space also is askless, non-existent. Therefore, so that which knows by its very nature is space. Is also distinct from space but not distant. This is very important. This non-separateness must throughout it must be remembered. Therefore, spatially also limitless. Now we say, as this true, every object, any object, being an object of knowledge. Something can be considered as an object only if it is an object of knowledge. Object of knowledge means the object is dependent on the knowledge for its very existence. That's why that knowledge being the consciousness again, there's no object which exists outside of knowledge. That is how this consciousness is object-wise also limitless. Just as every wave must be wondering why I'm talking all these things. Because I have to tell you the non-separateness. Ajatiwada has to come later on. It's all together, I can't say everything. So I had to, beforehand, I had to tell you these things. Later on, isn't it? So, object wise also, Sachid Vastu is limitless. You cannot think of something more abstract than the pure existence consciousness. So, object is also limitless. How anusyutamasti, every wave is inserted, pervaded in and through by the water. The very existence of the wave is form is in the water. In the same way, every object enjoys its existence only in a consciousness existence. Every object is reducible to even the most tangible, the tangible, gross, subtle, countless number of forms. Everything enjoys, every object enjoys its existence only in this abstract consciousness existence only. Reality only. There's no such thing called existence of anything outside of consciousness. That is why every object is non-different. Wave is non-different from water. The water is not, understand? Water is not the wave, but the wave is nothing but water. You can't say that. In the same way here, this Sachid Vastu is not anything, but everything, gross or subtle, is nothing but consciousness existence only. That is why this vastutaha api aparichinam, object is also, it is limitless. And these are the three possible limitations. There is Shastram, it has been thoroughly analyzed. There is no fourth limitation. There are only three possible limitations. Time limitation, space limitation, object limitation. Kala parichedaha, desha parichedaha, vastu parichedaha, which we discussed very thoroughly in our Taittiriya class. So, being free from these three parichedaha, three limitations, is very nature. That is why limitlessness is the very swarupam. And being free from these limitations is actually being free from the fear of mortality. I want to come to being free from these three limitations is being free from the phenomenon called fear. Being secure, security, fearlessness, okay, is nothing but limitlessness. Limitlessness is fearlessness. And the fearlessness is what? The security. This is the thing, vastu. So, Satchit Ananda Vastu, Atma, Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma is reality. This is the only Satyam. This alone is real. And here, is there a second consciousness existence? Asking the query, question is wrong, isn't it? We had to be 100%, 100%, 200% clear. There is consciousness existence. There's no parallel consciousness existence. There's no parallel vastu which is free from three limitations. The only vastu, the consciousness existence, which is free from all limitations, is the only one vastu. There's nothing which is comparable here. Second reality is not there. Second similar decay is not there. There's only one consciousness. If consciousness is one, ekatvam is swarupam, secondless, now, not, okay, other than consciousness, is there something else? Is some other thing now? Second consciousness is not there. Something else is there. Second thing is also not there. That's why adwitiyam, ekam adwitiyam, advaitam also. Second is not there. Why I have to say second is not specifically? Because the entire objective universe being material in its nature. Nature. And it comes under the category of the known. We have to talk about the knower known. Ahamidam. This division. Ahamidam division. In the whom of knower and the known. This division is why everything is under the category only knower. Okay. There is the world which is of the nature of inertness. There's the truth of the world, which is of the nature of consciousness. The truth of the universe, which is of the nature of consciousness. The world, which is of the nature of inertness. Should we not say that too? No. Why? Because the world, which is of the nature of inertness, has no independent existence at all. It can never be existent independently. Without Satchid Vastu, universe will be as good as non-existent. How the world of opaque things can never exist independently, can never have the status of being existing independently without the light. Opaque thing can shine, can have the status of being existent only in the presence of light, being non-separate from it. Being non-separate from the light, opaque thing enjoys the status of being existent. In the same way, the world of inert material forms, names and functions enjoys the status of being existent, only being non-separate from consciousness existence. The limitless consciousness existence. That is why we say it is this inexplicably subtlest, inconceivable, imperceptible truth. Alone is shining in the form of existence and knowledge of the universe. Reality is shining in the form of knowledge and existence of the universe. Knowledge of the universe is the existence of the universe. How is the reality? Reality is in the form of the knowledge of the universe. Reality is in the form of existence of the universe. Jagataha jnana rupena Sattarupena Brahmaiva Bhati. As the illuminator of the opaque things, illumination of the opaque things, illumined world, light alone is shining. In the same way here, it is this abstract consciousness existence alone, is in the form of consciousness of the objects, I mean knowledge of the objects and the existence of the everything. Inseparable here, non-separate. Non-separate. And this is what is Advaita Darshanam. If we see this world of objects from the standpoint of the consciousness existence, it is exactly like seeing the dream world as a waker. If you see the dream world as a waker, you can see it doesn't exist outside of you, the waker. At the same time, how the dream world of objects, the whole dream world of objects, which is purely dependent on you, the waker, cannot do any harm to you. What harm can the dream world do to the waker? What harm can it do? You must be assured of it. It looks very dark now, isn't it? It's good. It's very important to understand. Very subtle teaching. Understand? So, non-separate. Are you, as a waker, you are so cool, so objective towards your dream thief, dream, all dream fire, dream problems, all anything that is in dream, dream sickness, dream disease, dream problems. As a waker, you do not deny your experience of the dream you had, but you see how safe and untainted, untouched, no dream problems can come near you, the waker. Understand? In the same way, as the Satchid Vastu, Satchidananda Atma, that is what you are really, that is where you have no choice. That's what called Swasthanam. Swasthanam means what? One's own abode. Swasthanam. That's why we say, no, Swasthanam, Swasthanam means what? Your real abode. Means what? Your real home is what? Real home, real abode, being at home means being yourself. Means what? That this as pure consciousness existence, which is your Swarupam, this world of duality experience, the waking state also, is absolutely untainted. You are untainted by anything of this world. You are absolutely comfortable, untainted, untouched. You cannot be harmed by anything in this world of duality. Nothing in the world of duality can harm you as pure existence consciousness. This shift has to happen. This objectivity has to happen. Without trying to distance anything in this world. We don't need to distance anything, alienate anything. Don't need to do anything. Just cognitive shift has to happen how you are. In spite of, being here as an individual also, still as what you are, absolutely untainted. That is freedom. That is Jivan Mukti. Then Amrutatvam you don't attain, it is just Swarupam. Ajatvam don't attain, it is just Swarupam. Nityatvam don't attain, that is just Swarupam. Sarvagatatvam is just Swarupam. Isn't it? If identity is with the body, mind is complex, finished. Only a small place I'm occupying. Shift is awareness, your Sarvagataha, Atma. It is understanding the fact, understanding the truth. The problem is, physically you cannot be all pervasive. That's what we want to. That is not possible. So, where is the separateness? Where is the separation? Where are the divisions? Where is the where are the differences? It's all in our perception. Differences are in our perception. Divisions are in our perception. They are relatively real. Objectively real. Empirically real. Absolutely, there is one secondless non-dual reality which alone is shining in the form of knowledge of the universe, existence of the universe, therefore which alone is shining as the universe. And that reality alone is satyam. Knowledge of the universe is mithya. The universe itself is mithya. Because it has no independent existence. So Gaudapacha is going to say later on, it's impossible to establish the independent existence of the universe. First of all, universe is. Easiness of the universe you cannot establish. Universe cannot be established. That is why all these philosophers who work very, very hard and try to find the truth, coming out with the things, they try to establish karanam and karyam. Isn't it? Jagat karanam. So we have seen here, come to the class. Because yesterday I started something, then I explained it. I couldn't complete, so I had to come back and do this. Is it clear? Very important to see the non-separateness. No philosopher, even though every philosopher has his own theory of creation, and talking about the cause and the effect. First thing, the universe has the effect. No philosopher is really able to establish the beginninglessness of the cause. Which means there is no such a thing called a beginningless cause. Beginningless cause means unborn cause, mean absolute cause. The very term cause is relative. There is no such thing called absolute cause. The cause itself is relative. So the effect also is relative. We can say, we can talk about the effect of something as relatively. We can talk about the cause of something relatively. Absolutely, we can never establish the cause. So the question Gaudapada Acharya puts to all the philosophers is, first of all, when you say the universe is real, it has originated. Problem finished. He catches them there. The universe has originated. The word is creation. When they say, come on, prove, where has it come from? Where has it come from? So, before going to the universe, the jiva. Jiva has come, jiva is born. When you say, you have to prove, where is it born from? Show the cause. That is when they get caught. Okay? The birth of the jiva is determined by the karma. Karma is the karanam. Jiva's birth is the karyam. When they say, then what is the cause of the karma? If the question is asked, they will again say, the jiva is the cause. Jiva existed before, therefore karma is the karma. He performed action for accumulated karma. This is how they can go. When again, what is the cause of that? They can't question answer. Then that is when it becomes what? It is not possible to prove whether the cause came first or the effect came first. It is not possible to prove. And so that yesterday he beautifully extended. And when this, we talk about the connection, karna karya sambandha, and yesterday we saw yesterday how he negated that. There cannot be sambandha between cause and effect. Effect because sambandha yesterday, I told in the class, is the relationship is possible only between two things, which have independent existence. You can talk about the relationship between two things or many things relatively. What is the relationship between this person and this person? How he is related to this person? How is this thing is related to this person? This place is related to this teaching, etc. Relationship can be talked about between two things which are relatively independently existent. Relatively independently existent. Everything in the world is independent means anything can be relatively independent. Absolutely nothing in the world is independent. Nothing in the world has independent existence, absolutely. Relatively we can talk about relative independence. Certain ways. Therefore, that relationship, it's a connection, we cannot talk about it. There is no karna karya sambandha, it's a concept in the mind. We saw all that. Remember yesterday? So, now let's go to the 18th karika. Don't think I'm repeating. Gaudapacharya is repeating.
Page 475.
Yes. They also brought two papers of the book. Yadi hetov palat siddhihi. Yadi hetov palat siddhihi. Pala siddhischa hetutaha. Phala-siddhischa hetutaha. Yadi hetov phalat siddhihi. Yadi hetov phalat siddhihi. Phala-siddhischa hetutaha. Ischa hetutaha. Katarat purva nishpannam. Katarat purva nishpannam. Yasya siddhira pekshaya. Yasya siddhira pekshaya. Katarat purva nishpannam. Katarat purva nishpannam. Yasya siddhira pekshaya. Siddhira pekshaya. So, in this karika, Gaudapacharya first says, Hetoho siddhihi yadi phalat. Please make a note, the word siddhihi in the karika is used in the sense of not achievement. It is used in the sense of emergence or birth or origination. But palat hetoho yadi siddhihi. If the birth of the cause is from the effect, if the birth of the cause, the origination of the cause is from the effect, and pala siddhihi cha hetutaha, and if the birth of the effect is from the cause. Okay? Same thing. Don't think I'm repeating. The origination of the cause is from the effect. The origination of the effect is from the cause. Now he's asking the question. all the philosophers are holding on to this view. There's a cause, and from the cause, karma phalam is the cause, the body is the body, maintenance complex is the effect. The birth of the jiva into this world, the body maintenance complex is the effect caused by one's own parabdha punya papam. Relatively real, absolutely not. Why he had to talk about all these things? To understand the absolute vision of non-duality of the reality. So he says, therefore we have to say what now? And he says, the being born as a jiva is the cause for the accumulation of punya papam. That is why, palat hetoho siddhihi. And palasiddhihi cha hetutaha. Cause originates from the effect. Effect originates from the cause. If you say, now he is asking, katarat puram nishpannam. What is, which of the two came first? Tell me. Katarat means which of the, between the cause and the effect. You say this has come from that, that has come from this. Katarat puram nishpannam. Which of the two, katarat means which of the two, nishpannam, which of the two has come first? Okay. Yasya siddhihi. Yasya apekshya siddhihi. Which of the two has come first? On which depends the origination of the other. The birth of the other. Finished. The one question is enough. Kaudapacharya, yes. This is the very way he asked the question, he knows already there is no answer for that. See, the Gaudapacharya, see, the person who asked the question must be very clear. He must know the answer. He must know the right answer for the question, or he must know the question being the wrong. Then he is a powerful person. So all these speculations are based on their own perception, isn't it? Therefore, Shankaracharya writes the commentary here. He says, what he means is, there cannot be any connection, any relationship between cause and effect. This fact has already been negated. We saw the previous month, Karika. It's already been, it has been proven. Established. But still, he continues to hold on to this. So he says, see, there cannot be the cause-effect relationship at all. Why? Because they are not two independent things. Cause and effect are not two independent things. At the same time, the mutual dependence is not possible. There must be mutual dependence is not possible, which means the cause and effect cannot have mutual dependence. Why? Because the cause must be independent of the effect. Effect must be dependent on the cause, relatively, isn't it? The effect is called effect because it has independent existence upon the cause. Cause is called cause. Cause must be independent of a relative effect. See, with reference to two factors, which we will look at it as a cause and the effect, The effect must be dependent on the cause. Cause must be independent of that particular effect. Only then we can talk about as a cause and effect. Cause also cannot be dependent on the effect. Cause may be dependent on some other cause. Any cause can be dependent on some other cause from the standpoint of which it is an effect. Isn't it? But if we say the wood is the cause, the table formed in front of the table is an effect, if I say, then the table is dependent on the wood for its existence. Wood is independent of the table for its existence. We have to stretch it to what? The wood is dependent on the tree, log of wood for its existence from the standpoint of its cause. We don't are talking about it. Between the cause and effect, wooden table, one must be dependent, one must be independent. Cause must be, of course, cause is independent, effect is dependent. There cannot be mutual dependence. This is one point he's going to say later on. So Gaudapada Acharya says here, one must make sure which is the cause which is independent of the effect and which is the effect which is dependent on the cause. That clear understanding must be there. There cannot be interdependence of both. The firstborn cause can be independent of the later born. The cause is also born, effect is also born. Understand? There's no ajam. There's no ajam karanam. Cause when you say, karanam when it is said, any karanam must be the product of something else. Therefore, karanam also is ajam. Sorry, karanam also is a jatam. If karyam also is jatam. And one thing you can say, cause is first born, effect is later born. Which is born later. So, the first born is independent of the later born. Later born is dependent on the first one. Which means effect is dependent on the cause. Cause is independent of the effect relatively. The mutual dependence is not possible. Relationship also is not possible. Because one is satyam, relatively satyam. One is relatively mithya also. Absolutely everything is mithya. That's a different thing. We have to say here also. Therefore, it is not possible for us to say that the birth, the origination is beginningless. What he wants to, Gaudapada Acharya wants to knock off their view of saying the cause is unborn. There's a cause is beginningless. Okay? When all these people, when they present their cause, they present the theory of creation, they say something as a cause. And they say the cause is unborn. Cause is beginningless. Cause has a beginning. There's no such a thing called beginningless cause. There cannot. The beginningless cause, unborn cause is absolute cause. There's no such a thing. Other than this consciousness exists, Satchidatma, nothing is beginningless here. We can talk about the beginninglessness of something only if it is really there, first of all. The problem is, he's going to say, there is no world at all, there's no duality at all, absolutely. It's as though it is not possible for us to talk of the existence of what is not there or origination of something. So that is as though that he's going to establish later on, but that is what he means in this Karika. Is it clear? Okay. Let us read this Bhashyam now. Asambandhata doshena apodite api hetu palayoho karyakarana bhave. He says, Shankaracharya says, already it has been negated. What has been negated? The relationship Sambandha between cause and effect has been already negated. We have understood. Still, Hetu Palayoho Anyonya Siddhihi Abhyupagamyate Evat. Still you are holding on to, isn't it, this interdependence of cause and effect. We've already negated it. The relationship, connection between cause and effect, between cause and effect has been already negated. Clearly, still this is, in your understanding, you're not getting rid of that idea. You're holding on to that idea. Hetu palayoho anyonya siddhihi upagamyate evatvaya. Still you're thinking that they're mutually dependent. So, katarati nishpannam hetu palayoho yasya paschad bhavinaha siddhihi syat. Come on, tell me, please prove me, which has come first. You are talking about the cause, means cause must, he already explained, order must be very clear. Cause must be first, effect must be the later. Isn't it? The order itself you understand, you must prove which is the cause. Which came first. Katarati nishpannam hetu palayoho. Katarati nishpanam, first, which is the one first came. Paschad bhavinaha siddhi. Then what is that which came later on? Paschad bhavi means later on. So, purva siddhi apekshya yad yad bruhi. Come on, tell me. He's asking seriously, bruhi. Means prove. Tell me that. That's all. 18th karika is over. The very question asked by Shankaracharya leaves us with the understanding that he cannot prove which came first. Understand? It is not possible at all. If he tries to go, and he will be showing cause after the 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 cause, endlessly he'll be sitting there. He can never come to the conclusion that this is the unborn final cause. He can never arrive at it. Why? He's searching within the realm of the material world only. If he really arrives at what is unborn, then from the standpoint of him, he can say there's no universe at all. Why should he talk about the creation of it? Is it clear? Okay. This is the 18th karika. Atha yetat na shakyate vaktum iti manyase. Now Shankara Bhagavatpada introduces the following karika, saying he already assumes he cannot prove which came first. Whether the cause came first, whether the effect came first, he cannot prove. In the order, effect must come later. Cause must be first. Isn't it? But he cannot prove where has the cause come from. Therefore, he cannot talk about the effect also. He'll be left helplessly. Therefore, he says, if you're not able, it is not possible for you to say which came first. Only if he can prove this is the cause which came first, then he can talk about effect coming later on. Isn't it? There itself he'll fail. He cannot prove the origination of the cause. Therefore, he cannot prove the, he cannot establish the cause, then he cannot establish the effect also. Therefore, he says, Atha, yetat na shakyate vak. Tum iti manyase. If you think it is not possible for you to tell which came first, which came later, then what should be the answer? That answer is given by Gaudapada Acharya. He says, Ashaktirapariknyanam Ashaktirapariknyanam ಪರಿಜ್ಞಾನಂ ಕ್ರಮಕೋಪೋಥವಾ ಪುನಃ ಕ್ರಮಕೋಪೋಥವಾ ಪುನಃ ಕ್ರಮಕೋಪೋಥವಾ ಪುನಃ ಕ್ರಮಕೋಪೋಥವಾ ಪುನಃ ಏವಂ ಹಿ ಸರ್ವಥಾ ಬುದ್ಧೈಹಿ ಏವಂ ಹಿ ಸರ್ವತಾ ಬುದ್ಧೈಹಿ ಅಜಾತಿಃ ಪರಿದೀಪಿತಾ ಅಜಾತಿಃ ಪರಿದೀಪಿತಾ ಏವಂ ಹಿ ಸರ್ವಥಾ ಬುದ್ಧೈಹಿ ಏವಂ ಹಿ ಸರ್ವಥಾ ಬುದ್ಧೈಹಿ ಅಜಾತಿಃ ಪರಿದೀಪಿತಾ ಪರಿದೀಪಿತಾ. ಗೌಡಪಾದಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಇಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿ. ಹಿ ಡಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಹಿಟ್ ಟು ವರ್ಕ್ ವೆರಿ ಹಾರ್ಡ್ ಟು ಸೇ ಟು ಎಸ್ಟಾಬ್ಲಿಷ್ ಅಜಾತಿ ವಾದ ವೆನ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ವೆನ್ ದೇ ನಾಟ್ ಏಬಲ್ ಟು ಯುನೋ ಕಮ್ ವಿತ್ ಪ್ರಾಪರ್ ಆನ್ಸರ್ಸ್ ದೆನ್ ದೇ ದೆಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಸ್ ಕಾಂಟ್ರಿಬ್ಯೂಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ಯುನೋ ಪಾಪ್ಯುಲರೈಸಿಂಗ್ ಎಸ್ಟಾಬ್ಲಿಷಿಂಗ್ ದಿ ಅಜಾತಿ ವಾದ. There is no creation at all. Then why should we talk about where has it come from? If I say this creation, there is real creation. If we talk about the birth of something, Jiva was born. If we say, then we can ask the question, where has it come from? The question is possible. We don't even say there's no jiva, first of all. You cannot talk about the creation of the jiva then. There's no universe. There's no creation means that you don't talk about the cause of it. You see, only if you talk about the effect, then you can ask the question, where has it come from? Therefore, the effect, cause cannot be established. You have to say effect is not there. Effect is not there means there is no creation. This is what he says. Okay. He says, Ashaktihi. Please make a note. Ashaktihi. Aparijnanam. Shaktihi means possibility, ability. Ashaktihi, inability, incapacity. Your incapacity, your inability, incapability in giving an answer to this question, which came first. For the question, Pura Pakshi is not able to give the answer. Which came first, he cannot say. This is what is called strengthening, okay? That's why it's called mananam. Now we should not get doubt again. We can never establish the cause. So, Katarat Nishpannam, which of the two came first? That question are not able to answer. So, he says, Ashaktihi, your incapacity, your incapability, your inability to give the appropriate answer proves what? Aparijnanam. Aparijnanam means it only proves your delusion. Ignorance. Aparijnanam. Then, kramakopaha atha vapunaha. See, kramakopaha means, here, there's no understanding of the proper order also. Kramakopaha. Violation of the order. The violation, kramakopaha means also what now? There'll be difference in presenting the order of succession. In fact, cause must be the first, effect must be the later, isn't it? But he cannot say that. He can both. That is why there'll be violation in the order, which is, there'll be difference in presenting the succession, in the order of the succession. Okay. Kramakopaha. Again, evam, in this manner, He indeed buddhaihi ajatihi paridipita. See this one now. This is how, second line when he says, he's very happy. This is how buddhaihi means, buddhaha means what here? Buddhaha here means the learned people. Learned person. Buddhaha, all these philosophers and ordinary people, highly learned people. Okay, people of erudition, scholars, great thinkers. Buddhaihi, by all these, the so-called philosophers, the propounders of systems of philosophy, but all of them, ajatihi paridipita. This, you know, this view, the fact of non-creation, the fact of creation being not there, non, okay, is actually revealed, paridipita. It means made much clearer actually. Paridipana means what? They make this fact of creation being not there much clearer. Paridipata. Much clearly presented. Ajatihi paridipita. So what he says, we don't need to work very hard. Ajatihi. We simply ask this question. Whoever, whichever philosopher comes, doesn't matter. What is the theory? Okay? What is your theory? According to what is the cause? How do you present your teaching? How do you present your view? What are the arguments you have? Don't need to ask any questions. Come on. Okay? All of them have the cause. Only one question is enough. Tell me which is the cause. Okay? How do you establish the cause? Establish the cause. You must prove what is the source of the cause. Where has the cause come from? Which is the cause of these two? If you say this is the effect, this is the cause, which is the cause? Prove the cause. Establish the cause first. If the cause is established, then we can say yes. From this cause, this effect has come into existence. Cause itself is not established. How can I talk about the effect? In Tamil, we have one saying, Swamiji. When people come, in wedding house, a lot of people will be waiting for the eating. Some unknown person, stranger comes. He is not invited actually for the wedding. And he will be standing there. Okay? And he'll say, that leaf has a hole. That leaf has a hole. We have banana leaves for eating, you know. That leaf has a hole. You're not even asked to sit. Why do you talk about the hole in the leaf? Idea is, not that we're not that rude people. Idea, what is taught by here is, when you cannot even prove the existence of the cause, and what can you talk about the effect? So there is no effect at all. There is no cause also. There is neither the cause nor the effect. And Shastram says what? There is a seeming cause. There is an apparent seeming effect. And for the seeming cause and the effect, why it is only mithya karanam mithya karyam? In Advaita Vedanta Shastram, what do we say? The karanam is mithya, karyam also is mithya. And okay, karanam itself is mithya means karyam also is mithya. Mithya means as though. There's no real cause, there's no real effect. There's as though cause, as though effect. And what is satyam then? Karya karana vilakshanam brahmaiva satyam. Isn't it? The Brahman which is distinct from cause and effect alone is Satyam. Which alone is in the form of both cause and effect. Which is free from cause and effect. So, in Shankaracharya, when he writes his comment, poetry, many stotram he has written. So in the stotram also he'll bring in Vedantic vision only. He'll say, he calls Shiva, Akaranaya Namaha. காரண காரணாய அகாரணாய நமஹா. Salutation to the cause of the cause who is causeless. To prove, okay. So sarvehi buddhehi ajatihi paridipita. You can say this nicely. Ajatihi paridipita. Katham the vision of, the fact of the creation being not there has been made much more clear. Isn't it? Much clearer by all these so-called scholars, just because, simply by not being able to establish the cause. Okay, so just the bhashyam. Sa iyam ashaktihi. This inability of yours in giving an appropriate answer, that not being able to prove the cause, isn't it? Itself is what shows aparijnanam. Aparijnanam means what? Tattva avivekaha. Shankaracharya says tattva avivekaha. So lack of discriminative knowledge of the truth. What is real? What is the truth? What is not the truth? Tattva avivekaha, he is calling aparijnanam. So no philosopher really has the clear discriminative understanding of the truth. What is the truth? What is not the truth? He says, modhata ityarthaha. Modhata means actually delusion. Athava, and he says what? Yaha ayam kramaha tvaya uktaha. Again, the order which has been mentioned by you. Okay, he says, what is the order? Hetoho siddhihi, hetoho palasya siddhihi hetoho, palatacha hetoho siddhihi. He says, the effect is born of the cause is born of the effect. This order which was presented by him, that's also iti itaretarantarya lakshanaha, okay, which in the form of having mutual dependence, kopaha, kramasya kopaha means viparyasaha, viparyasa means anyatha bhavaha syat. This is also what? This is something, yes sir, there is a violation of the order. Whenever you talk about the cause and effect, cause must come first, effect must come later. Isn't it? You cannot say, when he says, from the cause effect has come, effect from the effect the cause has come, then what you're talking now? You make both causes means, which has, then both come first and both come later also. This is called violation of the kramakopaha. The presenting the succession. Evam, again he's hetu palayoho karya karana bhava anupapattehe ajatihi sarvasya anutpatti paridipita. What ajatihi sarvasya anutpatti? Non-creation of everything. Non-origination of everything. Isn't it? That is, that there is no creation of anything at all here. There is no Jiva Srishti. There is no Jagat Srishti. There is no Ishvara Srishti. There is no such a thing called creation of anything here. There is Ajati. There is no creation at all of anything. That is, Sarva Anupati. That becomes paridipita prakashita, same meaning. Lord Gaurupacharya's word is paridipita. Shankaracharya's word is prakashita, same meaning. That becomes, is it really revealed? Why? Because of the impossibility of establishing the cause effect. Isn't it? Mutual dependence. mutual dependence, even very existence also. Anyonya paksha dosham bruvadbihi vadibihi buddhaihi panditaihi. He says, all these panditaha, buddhaha, all these scholars, the great learned people, philosophers, proponents of schools of thought, by all of them, okay, mutually, who are mutually anyonya paksha dosham bruvanti. What do? They point out other people's mistakes, isn't it? So pointing out others' defects, others' logical fallacies, mutually refuting and negating each other, all of them uniformly, what is revealed here? Ajatihi prakashita. There's no creation at all. That is what is actually strengthened and supported. That fact becomes supported. Not that they want to support choicelessly. Okay? They have no choice. This is the 19th karika. Pardon? Yeah, now comes Purupaksha. No, the Purupaksha feels very bad. You know? See. Now they think, oh, Purupaksha has to say something here, isn't it? He cannot get back now. Sometimes now, very difficult to accept a failure. So you have to justify, say something. You know you are going to fail, but still say something still to justify. This is the typical human psychological problem, okay? Whenever I am proved to be wrong, there must be magnanimity to accept the error. That takes a great deal of maturity. Otherwise, what happened? Even though I know I am wrong, still I try to justify. This is the problem we can find with the so-called present-day people also, Swamiji. They give the reasons. Why do you do this wrong thing? I don't want to talk about specifically the country's names and all those things. But when they say, now we say, why do you do this? They know what they did wrong. But still they justify. How? Presenting number one, two, 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 3 points. And when they justify, whatever they present for justification, and they present it, go to all possible medias and give all false news. No? You spread the false news, it becomes real. People mistake it because everybody is talking about it, so it must be true. The same way, okay, it's a basic human psychological problem that is. So here also, poor, simple, they're all great scholars, nice people. So, Purupakshi is, actually the answer is given by Gaudapada Acharya. What is the possible question, the doubt, or what is that defending, how he tries to defend himself. That is presented by Shankaracharya. He says, at least brief before I go to that point.
Page 476.
Yeah. Today I guess bought 2 papers, just to make it easy to, anyway. So, Shankaracharya says, if a Purupakshi says, see, a poor Pakshi can say, I did not say the cause is the source of origination of the effect. And the effect is the origination of, effect, cause originates from the effect. That when I say, I did not say not that immediate cause and effect. He goes back now, one step. For the present punya papam which I am experiencing now, this is the effect, karanam, karyam. Why I suffer in this life now, present life. Isn't it? For which the previous body mind and complex, with the when I lived in this life world as a previously as a jiva, having body mind and complex, I must have done a lot of punya papa karmani. And that punya papa karmani I am exhausting now. Therefore, the previous body is the cause, previous life and previous body maintenance complex is the cause, and the present experience of punya papam is what now? suffering is what now? The effect. Not directly. The present physical body, with this present body, minus and complex, whatever I'm doing, is going to be what now? The future cause for the future punya papam. Therefore, the present body, present, what is the present effect is what? The cause of the future effect. The past cause is what? Result of cause of the future, present effect. This is what we mean. We do not say this body itself is directly the cause of the present punya papam. We don't say that. Anyway, there is no way of establishing the cause. Whatever reason you give. Relatively it is correct. Absolutely it is, there is no cause. There is no way of establishing it. If I say also, same question will come. So what is the cause of the previous body mansions complex? Because why he has to stretch it like this? He is talking about the cause as anadi, beginningless. That is the problem. All these Purapakshi, all these philosophers, they say karanam is unborn. And the karanam itself is not there. How can it talk about the beginninglessness of the cause? You can talk about something, it is beginningless or has a beginning, only if it is there. Ajam, ajam, they say, that is why you have a problem. When you say cause is unborn, they can never arrive at what is really unborn. They'll be stuck with this itself. They'll miss the vision of the real fact, real truth. That's why that has been negated now. So, and they say, they repeat all the words used by Gaudapada Acharya, to point out their mistakes. And they mistake it to be, you know, really teasing them. They feel teased. They feel sort of made fun of. Okay, so he's nanu. Nanu means what? Like immediately, like a child, no? Asking what? Nanu. That is the, actually, Purupakshi comes. Hetu palayoho karya karana bhavaha iti asmabihi uktam. Yes. It was said by us, there is cause-effect relationship, no doubt. What we said, shabdamatram ashitya, simply, literally taking the words what we said. Idam chalam tvaya uktam. Okay. This, idam chalam tvaya uktam. This error was pointed out by you. Yes, what? Putrat janma pituhu, like that. You said all these things, you saying all these sentences, you really made fun of us. Putrat pituhu janma. A father's birth, saying, what? It is, whatever we are saying was like the birth of the father from the son. Yatha, vishanavatucha, asambandaha ityadi. The relation, karya-karana relationship, the relationship between cause and effect is like, you know, like the cow's horn. Comparing what we said to cow's horns, comparing what we said, teasing us, saying what? It's like the father being born of the son, born of son, etc. Saying all these things, you made fun of us. Which means, you literally took what we were saying. Literally, shabdamatram ashitya, simply taking the words we were uttering, you really did not get what we wanted to say. Nahi asmabihi asiddhat hetoho palasiddhihi. Asiddhat va palat hetu siddhihi abhyupagata. It was not stated by us that directly from a non-existent cause, existent effect came. Effect comes. From a non-existent effect, the existent cause comes. We never said this. Understand? We never said this. Then how? Kim tarhi? What was said then? Bias, he says. Bijang kuravate karya karana bhavaha abhyupagamyate iti. It is like a seed. Bija ank, seed and its sprout. The relationship between cause and effect was, okay, meant by us, like the seed and the sprout. Which comes first, seed or the sprout? Isn't it? So what he says, what he wants to say is, it is in our experience, it's everyday experience, it is there. Definitely seed is first, then comes the sprout. And there is karanakarya sambandha between seed and cause and the effect. What sambandha? One comes first, one comes later. This has been, in our experience, we know this. So, this cause and effect, both are there. There's a constant, continuous, beginningless flow of this cause and effect. He's going to use a different word now. Then the following verse, he's going to use the term santatihi. The following verse, he's going to use the term santatihi. Cause, effect, effect, cause, cause, effect, effect, cause, effect, effect, cause. It's called santatihi. It's a continuous sweet. Santatihi means what? There's a constant succession, perpetuation of cause of it, it is there. He's going to talk about it. Okay. So now Shankar, when he says, come on, whether you talk about the previous body and the present experience, the present experience and the later body, doesn't matter. Anyway, he is going to ask again one more question. Okay, that cause, prove that cause, not this cause. Atra uchyate, the answer comes now. Bijankura khyo drishtantaha. Bijankura khyo drishtantaha. Sada sadhya samohisaha. Sada sadhya samohisaha. See, the Purapakshi always gives example, Bijankura example. Bijankura khyo drishtantaha. Bijankurakhyo drishtantaha sada sadhya samohisaha. Sada sadhya samohisaha. Nahi sadhya samohetuhu. Nahi sadhya samohetuhu. Siddho sadhyasya yujyate. Siddho sadhyasya yujyate. Nahi sadhya samohetuhu. Nahi sadhya samohetuhu. Siddho sadhyasya yujyate. Sadhyasya yujyate. Though Shankara Bhagavatpada gives a long paragraph, okay, as the Purupakshi's justification, still Gaurupada Acharya has the only one sentence. Okay, to make him again feel incapable of giving an answer. What does he say? Drishtantaha. See, Purapakshi gives this drishtanta. Drishtanta is example. What's example? Bijankura drishtantaha. The example itself is incorrect. Got it. Bijankura drishtantaha. The example given by Purupakshi here is Bijankuraha, seed and the sprout. Between the seed and the sprout, there is karya karana bhavaha. Karana karya bhavaha. How even this itself sada sadhya samaha. Sahadrishtantaha sadhya samaha. Gaudapacharya says, the example which you have given itself is sadhya samaha. Sadhya samaha means it is as good as something which is yet to be proved. It is not as good as. In fact, this example which you gave itself is yet to be proved. Got it now? Sadhya samaha, which has yet to be proved, which has not yet been proved. Suppose example, what example he gives, that must be proved, isn't it, first of all? So he must be able to say whether the seed came first or the sprout came first. Because the sprout must come, the sprout must go into a tree, and then from the plant must produce the seeds, is it? Then from the seed alone, again, next plant can come. Therefore, even here the problem is what? Even here, whether the tree came first or the seed came first cannot be established. So he says, drishtantaha saha sadhya samaha. Drishtantaha hi sadhya samaha. It means the example of seed and the sprout is always what now? Samaha, it is equal to saying that which has not yet been proved, established. Nahi sadhya samaha hetuhu siddhau sadhyasya yujyate. He says, unestablished example, giving the unestablished, unproved example to prove something which has yet to be proved is not appropriate, isn't it? Sadhya samaha hetuhu. So the example given, which is equal to something which is yet to be proved, is not applicable at all for proving, for establishing the statement that he made. Is it clear? He gives his example to prove something. And the exam itself is what? Something not yet proved. How can the unestablished statement, view, it's not a fact. It's just a view. Unestablished view cannot be useful in establishing the fact, something which has yet to be established. Finished. He knocks off there itself. He does not even try to understand what the Purupakshi wants to say. No. Let us see the Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary here. Bijankurakhyaha drishtantaha yaha sasadhena tulyaha mama iti abhiprayaha. See, the idea given is, the example given by the Purupakshi, as just as the seed and sprout are mutually cause and effect, so also here karma and body are mutually cause and effect. We never question, it's our experience. We understand this the same way. It's a santati. Cause is a beginningless, effect is beginningless, and beginninglessly they have been cause and effect. Beginninglessly they have been cause and effect. This is what say. Like what? Like the seed and the sprout. And he says, who said? Can you establish that, no, you must remember the order again. Cause must be the first. Effect must come later on only. This is the proper way of proper order. Which means, if both are cause and effect for each other, if there is mutual dependence, then which came first must be established. When the seed came first, or the sprout came first, must be established. If that becomes established, then based on the example, what you say now also can be explained. Improper, unproved, unestablished example is given to prove something which is yet to be proved. So it can never be proved. Nano, so he also says, he won't leave it soon, okay? He'll hold on to it for some time. That's why Nano comes. Nano pratyakshaha karyakarana bhavaha bijankrayoho anadihi. Don't you see this beginninglessness of this flow of this sprout and seed being mutually cause and effect? Don't you experience, don't you know this in your day-to-day experience? It's obviously known. Seed and the sprout are mutually cause and effect. Isn't always? How? Anadihi. Bijankrayoho anadihi. See, again the problem is, he talks about the anadihi. Beginninglessness of the seed and the sprout being cause and effect of each other. The mutual dependence of each other as cause and effect. Don't you know this? He is asking Purupakshi. Na. What is the answer? Na. No. Purvasya, purvasya. Aparavat. Adimatva abhyupagamat. Come on. There's always understanding. There's always understanding of what? Purvasya, purvasya, aparavat. It's very clear. Always one, of course, how purvasya, purvasya, aparavat means what? For the later, the preceding one becomes the cause. Relatively. It always we say, relatively we say this. But we cannot establish their beginninglessness. He says, we do not deny. Yes, seed comes first. The sprout comes later on. The sprout becomes a tree. From the tree, again seeds come. One comes first, one comes later. We do not deny it. But we cannot talk about the anadi, beginninglessness of it. Absoluteness of the seed being the cause of the sprout. Absoluteness of the sprout being the cause of the seed cannot be established. Relatively we can say one comes before, other comes later. That is, we don't deny. Yatha idanim utpannaha aparaha ankuraha. Bijatu. Adiman bijam. See, the sprout has come now. For the newly arrived sprout, the seed is what? The cause. The seed is before the cause. In the same way, adiman bijam, which means what? Seed has a beginning. Sprout has a beginning. Adiman. He says adiman means has a beginning. Seed has a beginning. Sprout also has a beginning. Therefore what? Anything which has a beginning will have an end also. Therefore it is not beginningless. It is not beginningless means what? Anything which has a beginning and end means it is not satyam. Is it? So, aparam anyasmat ankurat iti kramena utyannatvad adimat. Everything has a beginning here. Kramena utyannatvad adimat. See, everything has a beginning. The problem with him is, he talks about the beginninglessness of the cause and effect. That's the problem. So Gaudapacharya says, Shankaracharya says, adimat, where he says anadihi. That's the difference. Evam purvaha purvaha ankuraha bijam cha puram puram adimat yeva iti pratyekam sarvasya bijankura jatasya adimatvat kasyachidapi anaditva anupapattihi. What the final lesson? Kasyachidapi anaditva anupapattihi means there is impossibility of anything having the status of being the beginningless. Everything has a beginning. Okay? The seed can be before the sprout. Before every sprout, there's a seed before. Seed comes first. Before every sprout, the seed is first. And before every seed, sprout is first. Therefore what? One comes from the other, everything has a beginning. We cannot talk about the beginninglessness of the seed, beginninglessness of the sprout. Everything has a beginning. Which means there is no such a thing called absolute unborn cause. It's impossible. He says what? Anaditva anupapattihi hetu palanam. It is impossible for any cause or any effect to be beginningless. That is the final teaching. Which means nothing has independent existence. If we cannot establish nothing is here beginninglessly, everything has a beginning, then how is it? What is it? We had to establish the, later we had to see, of course, in the following verse, the 21st verse will come back to his own teaching. The Advaita teaching will come back later. Oh my God, time has come. I haven't said anything. Oh my God. Just time passed. I only said, I think, bijam, ankuraha, seed, sprout, they've been telling, time gone. At least today, this class, what should become very clear? It's impossible to establish the beginningless flow of cause-effect mutual dependence. It's impossible to establish the beginninglessness of the flow of cause-effect relationship. That's what they hold on to this. What the beautiful thing is, he negates very example. See, in relatively, we always look at it. We know this. Relatively, we understand. Seed is the cause of the sprout. Sprout is the cause of the seed. We understand this. But this, isn't it? This is something, which of the two is really beginningless? You can never establish. This is what we say, The impossible, anupapattihi. Anupapattihi means impossibility of proving, establishing the flow, the beginninglessness of the flow of the relationship between the cause and effect. But cause of it itself, you can never establish the absoluteness of the cause. If you cannot establish the absoluteness of the cause, then there's the question of establishing what is effect. That's all. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.